Good evening. Tonight we want to finish 1 John. We've been looking at this in pieces over the last couple of months, and tonight we want to finish this particular letter in the New Testament. Lord willing, then, next Sunday night on the 14th, we'll be looking at 2 John, and then the Sunday night after that, December the 21st, 3 John, and then that will complete our preaching through these epistles of John. And again, I hope you have learned something. I hope you've grown in your understanding of the Christian walk and these epistles and what I've been able to deliver to you. It's been a real challenge and a very good challenge for study that I put in on these particular lessons. So tonight we want to focus in on the passage that Chris read for us just a few moments ago. And I've broken this down into 4 points for my lesson this evening. First of all, we're going to take a look at verse 13 and see the assurance that we have, the confidence we can have in our having eternal life. Then in verses 14 through 16, we're going to take a look at prayer as God intends, the fact that truly this particular section, which is very difficult, I don't try to minimize that, I think is best understood as you look at it through prayer. That's really what he's talking about here. And then we're going to back up just a verse and then look at 16 and 17 and what is this sin unto death and this sin not unto death that John is talking about. And then finally in verses 18 through 21, the concluding remarks to the chapter. Some people think verse 21 just doesn't fit real well as a nice ending to the letter. It kind of throws them a little bit, but let me share with you when I get there that it's really a pretty good ending. A bit abrupt in some ways, but yet with all he said beforehand and with a backdrop of what he is trying to battle against in the way of false doctrine, I think a very good last verse for sure. Okay, so John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Hopefully you still have your New Testaments open there, and we'll take a look at these passages again together. John says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life." One of the great themes that we have seen here in 1 John is the fact that we are to have great confidence in our salvation. We know that we have a great propitiation, the one who has satisfied God's wrath, and that is Jesus Christ. And when it comes to our salvation, to our relationship with God, it's not to be guesswork. It's not to be something, well, I hope, or I wish. But as he says right here, that if we believe, and of course that means more than mental assent, has to be more than that with what he said previously about our lives being different from that of the world, and et cetera, et cetera. But when we are true believers, trying to be obedient in every way, we can know that we have eternal life. That truly we have that which we ask for, that which we desire. We can have great confidence in our everyday walk. Truly we are to have faith in Christ. That's what it says there in the verse, that we believe in the name of the Son of God. We know by other passages within 1 John that we have made our break with sin. Doesn't mean that we don't commit it every now and then. Of course, we're still human. We're not going to live perfectly. But we have made a clear break in our desire to sin. No longer is that a goal. No longer is that something that we enjoy. We've made our break with the past life. We're trying our best to live for God. And when we do that, then again, we should know that we have eternal life. That's part of the formula here that John talks about. The third thing that he makes is a test of fellowship, because he says, if you don't love the brethren, you're walking in darkness. It's just that. We love the brethren. And that's another element that we know that we have eternal life, because we're working on our relationships one with another. We're loving our brothers whom we can see, so that we can say that we love God whom we can't see. Chapter 4, verse 20. And so again, hopefully you look at this verse and say, well, that's a great verse. Sure doesn't apply to me. Well, if you're a child of God and you're trying to walk in the light and you believe in Jesus and you love the brethren, of course it applies to you. You need to have more confidence in your salvation than that. This is one of the great verses here of 1 John, this here, chapter 5, verse 13, because it's not any longer guesswork. He says we can know. We can have great assurance, great confidence, great boldness in our relationship with God. If you don't, it's time to re-examine that. It's time to look at the Scriptures again. It's time to look at your life again and understand that that can be part of your daily walk, that kind of confidence in your eternal life. Well, let's go then to the next section here of this particular passage of Scripture, and that's verses 14 through 16. And the way I want to look at this, because I believe it, at least it unlocks some things for me. All right, let me put it that way. I may not unlock every mystery of this text tonight for you, but hang in there with me on this, and hopefully it'll make a little bit more sense when we come to the sin leading to death and the sin not leading to death, if we understand that concept within the context of prayer, because that's what he's talking about here for sure, beginning in verse 14. So let's take a look at this again and see what John has to say. This is the boldness which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Now, to me, those first two verses there, that is verses 14 and 15, are some of the great verses on prayer. I mean, you can't get any more exciting, you can't get any more positive, I don't think, about prayer than that. Look what he says here. We can have boldness. Now, some of your translations there say confidence. I really like boldness just a hair better. All right, but confidence is okay. That's what my New American Standard has. But I'd rather hear boldness. Because I think the idea that John's trying to bring out here is that when you're bold in prayer, you can come to God in prayer and say everything that you want to say. Remember back in the book of Acts, several times within those passages, it says that the people were remarking at the boldness of Peter and John, or that they boldly spoke to the people. Well, that word there, boldly, as it is used, doesn't have anything to do with volume. Doesn't mean they were yelling or screaming. But it says that they said everything they wanted to say. They weren't being interrupted. They weren't being challenged. As they were going about, they spoke boldly. If they wanted to talk about repentance, they talked about repentance. If they wanted to talk about holiness, they talked about holiness. Whatever they wanted to talk about, they spoke boldly, and they said everything they wanted to say, everything they needed to say. I believe that's what John's telling us about prayer. Prayer is so great, it's so fabulous, we have such a wonderful God that we can come to him with great boldness. And we know this comes also out of the Hebrews letter there in Hebrews 4, verse 15, that we have boldness to enter the throne room of grace and in time of need and to tell of our needs. But that's the greatness about prayer, that you can come into the very throne room of God and say everything that you want to say. And God, as if he stops running the universe, and he listens to you. Surely he's hearing a billion prayers, give or take a million or so, all the time. But when you pray, it's as if he stops and he listens only to you, and he will listen as long as you want to talk. And that's what he says here, John does. We have boldness before him. We're to have boldness before him. But believe it or not, it gets even better. Because he says there that if we ask anything according to his will, that truly he hears us. We are to ask according to God's will. And if we do that, we know that he hears us. Now, does that mean that if we don't ask, he doesn't hear? No, I think what he means here is that he's definitely going to answer us. God hears every prayer. He doesn't always answer in the affirmative. Sometimes he says wait, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says yes. But what John, I think, is saying here is that when we ask according to God's will, God always says yes. When we know that that's in our best interest and it's in what he wants us to pray about and that's how he wants us to conduct our life, you've got a guaranteed yes answer. He hears. He's going to do more than hear. He's going to answer. I really see that kind of confidence, that kind of thing being said here by John. All right, so he goes on then in verse 15, and he says, if we know, and we do because he just said this, and if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked of him. And this is where that word confidence comes in. Go to him in great boldness, say everything you want to say, know that he's going to hear you and answer you, especially in the affirmative when you ask according to his will. So therefore, go into prayer with great confidence. And now we can use that word. Maybe there's sin in your life and you go into God with a little sheepishness and you say, well, Lord, I messed up and I sinned. Well, that's all right. If you've got to come in with a penitent attitude because you're coming about a sin, But if you're just praying in general and praising God and thanking Him and having intercessory prayers for others and this kind of thing, then sure enough, go in there with great confidence. Go in there with the boldness that the Hebrews writer talks about. And John's talking about here that we know God's listening. He's going to answer in our best benefit. Don't be afraid to go to God in prayer. Have you ever been in prayer so much about something you wonder in the back of your mind if God's getting tired of it? There's been certain things in my life that I've prayed about over and over and over again. And then every now and then I think, God, you know what I'm going to pray for. So there it is. No. But are you getting tired of hearing this? I don't believe he is. And I believe that's what John is saying here. He says, come in there with confidence in your prayer life, knowing that God is ready and willing and eager to answer that prayer that's offered in faith. Now we get down to verse 16. And what I think we see here is an example of the very thing that he's just taught us. And that's the way I like to look at verses 16 and 17 as the illustration of this great boldness, this great confidence that we can have in prayer. All right, having said all of that about verses 14 and 15, now let's look at verse 16. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. You see, the topic's still prayer. You know, here you are, you see a brother out there committing this particular kind of sin, which is not leading to death, and John says, if you see somebody doing that, go ahead and pray. Go ahead and ask in behalf of that brother who's committing that sin, not leading to death. Now, we're not exactly sure what that is yet, but that's okay. We're going to get to that. But the point is here, John says, you can pray about that. This is something you can have boldness with. This is something you ask according to God's will, and you have great confidence knowing that God's going to answer it. And sure enough, look at the confidence that if you go ahead and ask God about that, it says God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. Wow. I mean, that's just it. What a wonderful example of what he just said. Because he says, you know, if you ask, then God's going to give you what you ask if you ask according to his will. All right? The good example of that is you see a brother committing a sin not leading to death. John says, go ahead and ask for that brother that God forgive him. And sure enough, God's going to do that. He's going to answer your prayer. He's going to answer in affirmative. It's according to his will. And he's going to forgive that brother who's committing a sin not leading to death. All right. He says then in the latter part of verse 16, there is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make requests for this. Now, that would go back to the idea that this is not within the will of God. If there's a sin leading to death. And so he says, even though we're not exactly sure what that is just yet, John says, that's something outside the will of God. That's leading to spiritual death. That's something that God does not tolerate. That isn't something that he fellowships. You know, if you ask about that, God's not going to answer that in the affirmative. He's not going to okay sin. Yeah, he's committing sin, but I'm going to save him anyway. I'm going to forgive him anyway. No, John says, you don't have to ask about that. So when it comes to this section here, I think it's best to view it under the section of prayer. What to pray for, what not to pray for, and understanding that prayer is powerful and God is ready, willing, and able to answer our prayers that are given confidently, boldly, and according to his will. All right, so what then is this sin leading to death and this sin not leading to death? Because that's going to help us then so that we know how to pray. Because there's one type of sin here that John says, go ahead and pray about that for a brother. And then there's another kind of sin over here that he says, don't pray about that one. That's not something you need to give to God. All right, so let's take a look now at verses 16 and 17. Again, let's back up and read 16 again and read 17 with it. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask God, and God will give life to those who commit a sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death, and I do not say that he should make requests for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. First of all, I think we need to understand and agree that when he's talking about death here, he's talking about spiritual death. He's not talking about physical death, all right? That truly we know the soul that sins, it shall die. Ezekiel 18 and 20. And so sure enough, the death there being spoken of, that we realize sin is not a physical problem, it's a spiritual problem. And so when he talks about a sin leading to death, he means something leading to spiritual death, all right? And so he says there is a sin not leading to spiritual death, and then there are sins that do lead to spiritual death. Well, how in the world are we going to tell the difference? I think we can tell the difference right here in 1 John. I think he's already dealt with this before. He's just now putting it in the context of prayer, telling us as Christians how we're supposed to pray. Turn back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Here's an example of a sin not leading to death. John chapter 1, verse 7. He says, "But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin." I believe that's the classic example of a sin not leading to death. This is the example which we've already talked about of a person who doesn't like to sin, doesn't want to sin, hates sin, just have made their break with sin, but we're human and we sin every now and then. Well, the great beauty of this text here is, in 1 John 1, 7, is that if we walk in the light as Jesus in the light, we're trying to do the best we can, trying to grow, trying to mature, we're not purposely trying to sin at all, we're trying to do purposely just the opposite, stay as far away from sin as we can, and anytime someone points out to us that we have sinned, we're embarrassed, we feel shame, we feel guilt. Oh, I want to repent of that, I'm going to get rid of that. John says, as we walk in the light, those kind of sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Those are sins that don't lead to spiritual death because we don't stay in them any longer than we have to. As soon as we're told, we get out of those sins, we repent of them. Go over to 1 John 3 and verse 6. 1 John 3 and verse 6. "No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him." Now, technically, that's not true. People who are in Christ do sin from time to time. But you get the gist of what he's saying is, no one that's in Christ purposefully sins. No one willfully sins. No one just out there enjoying sin. You're not walking in the light. You're not trying to be a faithful Christian if you're doing that. But every now and then, as faithful Christian, we do sin. And God says there's forgiveness for that. And you can pray about it for somebody else. That's the context, 1 John 5. Verse 9 now of 1 John 3. "No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." You see, the sin not leading unto death is any sin that you're willing to repent of. As long as you have a good mindset, as long as you have a good heart, and you're trying to serve God, and you're walking in the light as Jesus in the light, yes, every now and then we're going to sin, and we're going to mess up, and we're going to transgress. And he says, when you've got a brother that you see is doing that, by all means, pray for them. You can pray about those sins, because God's going to forgive them. And that's what he's talking about now in 1 John chapter 5. And that's exactly what we do. I mean, really. We've had brothers up here time and time again at this pulpit, and what do? We say, "Father, forgive us of our sin." Now, do we believe God answered that prayer? Do we believe that God, would forgive it? His brothers would pray for that? Well, yes. Well, why? Because we're committing sins not leading unto death. We're committing sins because not we do it purposefully or willfully. It's because we're human. We don't want to do it. We don't like to do it. And yes, we want God to forgive us because we're trying to walk in the light as he is in the light. Well, therefore, then, there is a sin leading to death. And truly, that would be any sin that we're not willing to repent of. That truly, when we willfully, purposefully sin, God's not going to save us in spite of our sin, right? He's not going to save us because we're out there sinning and say, "Oh, there's okay, I'll forgive him anyway." He saves people who repent. He saves people who walk in the light as Jesus in the light, and then the blood continually cleanses us from all sin. John says, if you see someone out there that's purposefully, willfully sinning, has no intention of repenting or whatever, don't ask God to save them in spite of their sin. That's outside the will of God. God doesn't save sinners who aren't willing to repent, who aren't willing to turn their lives over to God. Now, the prayer you need to have for an individual in that particular light is that someone can reach them before it's everlastingly too late, all right? Someone who can say, "You need to change your life." Pray that somebody sees them that way. You know, a lot of times we get up here and we say, and pray for those, or God, bless those who are not here because they don't want to be. Let's think that through. You know, what we really need to be praying, I think, is that, well, if they're here, not here because they don't want to be, let's pray that somebody goes to reach them. Let's pray that somebody goes to teach them the error of their ways. That they might convince them that, yeah, they are sinning against God. Yes, they do need to repent of that. They do need to get their life right. That would, I think, be a better prayer, all right? Because there are those people who sin and don't care. They purposely, willfully do it. And I believe John is saying here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, those are the sins leading to death. And he says, you don't have to pray about that if you don't want to. Just pray that they change their life. Because God's not going to save somebody in sin who's not willing to repent. Now, he says this little passage here in verse 17. He says, all unrighteousness is sin. And surely enough, it doesn't make any difference what sin you're talking about. Some people have taken this sin unto death and say, well, it's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I don't buy that. I'm not going to get into that tonight. If you want to know more, see me afterward and I'll tell you why, okay? I don't think it makes any difference. And I think that's why John wrote what he did in verse 17, that all unrighteousness is sin. If we tell little white lies and we're not willing to repent of those little white lies, those little white lies send us to hell, right? I mean, it's sin. If we murder, we commit adultery, and we don't do that, it doesn't make any difference. All unrighteousness is sin. And so it doesn't make any difference what the sin is. If we're not willing to repent of it, it's a sin leading to spiritual death. But it doesn't make a difference what the sin is, whether it's adultery or murder or theft or the little white lie. If we're willing to repent of it, it's a sin not leading to death. That's the bottom line. And in the context here, John's telling us of how to pray. That truly, if you've got a brother or sister that's caught up in a sin and they don't like it and they're trying their best, pray for them that God forgives them, and he will. But if you've got somebody out there that's not even trying to live a Christian life, not even have a clue as to saying no to sin, John doesn't say we have to make any request to God if we don't want to about that. All right, well, let's wrap it up then, verses 18 through 21, and we'll be done for tonight. Verse 18, we know that no one who is born of God sins. Now see, there's that confidence again, see? That is, doesn't keep on sinning. And he's already talked about that as we've looked at in chapter 3. But he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Now I think the second born of God there is Jesus. I don't know if your translation capitalizes that him there. Some translations do, some don't, because they think that second born of God is actually referring to Christ. But the idea is that Christians don't continue in sin, and they have the wonderful blessing that Jesus is blessing them and keeping them as they walk. And so in verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. I think that's a fabulous play on words. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now, you might think of that metaphorically, that they're under the influence of the evil one, and that's fine. I think that's perfectly good. I look at it that way, too. But think of it this way. John's been talking throughout the whole letter about walking and walking in the light. And he says, as long as you walk in the light, you got fellowship, you got forgiveness, you got everything. But guess what? Those people who aren't walking are lying down. It's an interesting play on words. And he says, the whole world that's not walking in the light is lying in the power of the evil one. What they've got to do is stop lying around in the power of the devil and start walking in the light. And that's the prayer we ought to be offering for them folks, that somebody go reach them and tell them of the error of their ways so they'll repent of their sin. And so he says, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding in order that we might know him. Yeah, that understanding is right here. Yeah, we've got that anointing of chapter 2, you know, that the Word of God, that we might know him. And that we are in him is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Here's the end of the book. Works out so very well. The latter part of verse 20 really goes with verse 21. This is the true God and the eternal life. Well, who? Jesus. Jesus is the true deity. All right, that's his argument. Now, the backdrop is Gnosticism. And Gnosticism says, believe in all these gods, Bow down to this idol, bow down to that idol, worship asceticism, worship mysticism, worship, you know, be polytheistic, so on and so forth. John says, wait a minute. For this whole letter I've been telling you about Jesus, the propitiation of God, the expiation of God, the God come in the flesh, that we are of Him. And now he says, this, Jesus, is the true God, and He has eternal life. Therefore, keep yourself free from idols. Keep yourself free from any erroneous concept of God that comes your way. Don't bow down to fame. Don't bow down to popularity. Don't bow down to money. Don't bow down to anything because of an erroneous concept of God. Jesus is the true God. Jesus is the one that's got eternal life. You bow down to Him. Yeah. It's a great way to end his final argument against Gnosticism and all that it would bring against the true doctrine of God. What have we seen then here in 1 John? In chapter 1, we saw that we are to believe that Jesus has come in the flesh and that we're to walk in the light. We've seen in chapter 2 that Jesus is the propitiation, the satisfying sacrifice for our sin, and we're not to satisfy and be involved in the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In chapter 3, we've seen that the lifestyle of Christians is so opposed to the lifestyle of non-Christians, the difference is supposed to be obvious. Chapter 3, verse 10. In chapter 4, we've seen that we are to love the brethren. And this is a sign of our true conversion to Jesus. Because how can we say we love God whom we can't see if we haven't loved our brother whom we can see? And finally then tonight, we've seen, especially in our last lesson, that our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And His commands are not a burden. What a wonderful letter 1 John is. And I hope that you've gained by it. And help you in your daily walk of walking in the light as Jesus in the light, that you might have the forgiveness of all your sins. Eric has selected an invitation song if you need to give your life to Christ, or as a child of God, you need to repent of sin and make sure that the lifestyle you're leading are sins not leading to death, spiritual death, then we want you to make it right this evening. If you need to come, please do so now while we stand and while we sing.